peace with God.
Fools. The Bible has a lot to say about them. In many of those references, it's talking about people who refuse to follow God's direction. But
in the other passage, the word fool is used from the standpoint of people who have received Christ, because the world laughs at them and says they're foolish and ridiculous. They're fools. So they're unwise fools and they're wise fools.
So which kind of fool are you? That's the question Billy Graham's asking on today's edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. Thanks for joining us. You're also going to hear Ann Graham Lotz on discovering God in the trials of life.
Sometimes God wraps His glory in hard circumstances or painful difficulties, but within those life-shaking events is a treasure.
Stay tuned as Ann encourages you to take your eyes off the wrappings and discover the gift inside. You'll hear her teaching right after her dad's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org. Or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today's message comes from Billy Graham's 1982 crusade in Boise, Idaho. Let's listen now as he asks, whose fool are you?
Tonight, I want to talk on fools. And I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with the 18th verse. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And the Bible has a lot to say about fools and what a fool is. Proverbs 10:21, it says, fools die for the want of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom. When P.T. Barnum came to this country many years ago, he said, the American people want to be fooled and I'm here to fool them. One definition in the dictionary says, a person deficient in judgment, gullible or dupe. Now in the Bible, it may mean all of this, but it also has a moral meaning in the Bible and is a very important word in the Bible. And the verses seem almost paradoxical. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let him become a fool. And Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom. And God is speaking from the divine standpoint. In one passage, the fool is an unthinking, thoughtless, careless person without true understanding. In the other passage, the word fool is used from the standpoint of people who have received Christ, because the world laughs at them and says they're foolish and ridiculous. They're fools. So they're unwise fools and they're wise fools. First, there's the atheistic fool. It's repeated twice in Psalm 53:1 and Psalm 14:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But in Hebrew, it actually means there is no God for me. In other words, this fool deliberately says, there is no God for me. He's not saying there's no God. He's saying there's no God for me. Now, every person in the world, I believes innately that there must be a supreme being. To be an atheist or an agnostic, you have to block out of your mind the realities of birth and sex and life and death and the entire universe. Who can look at the heavens and read all that the astronomers tell us today and all that our satellites have discovered and the Voyager has discovered without believing there must be a supreme being back of this universe with its billions of galaxies and billions of stars and planets? Or look into one drop of water and see all the life that there is in a drop of water. Then there's the practical atheist. You see, there are many people that are really not atheists, but they a practical atheist in the sense that they live like an atheist. You profess to believe in God, but you don't live like you believe in God. You live as though there is no God. You too, in a sense, are an atheist. And there are hundreds here tonight like that. You believe in God with your mind. You may go to church, but you live as though God does not exist as far as you are concerned. And so you are an atheist in a sense. And then secondly, the Bible talks about the mocking fool, the mocking fool. Fools make a mock of sin, Proverbs 14:9. Here is God in all of His holiness. And the Bible tells us that we've sinned against Him. We've broken His laws and we're under the sentence of death. We're under the sentence of death. The wages of sin is death. And we have all sinned and broken the laws of God. And so we're all sentenced to die. We are to die physically. The graveyards are full of people that are there because sin caused death. And then sin also causes spiritual death. Your soul is dead. Your spirit is dead. Physically, you're alive, but your soul that lives inside your body is dead toward God. So you're a walking dead person under the sentence of death. Then there's eternal death, hell, judgment to come, separated from God, lost under the sentence of death. And the only way that you can have that sentence lifted is to come to Christ by repentance of sin and faith in Him as your Lord and your Savior. But there are many people that make a mockery of sins. They mock God's standards of sex, God's standards of marriage, God's standards concerning divorce and ethics and morality and social justice. We make a mockery of it. We laugh at it. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Don't ever doubt it. Your sin will find you out, though no one on earth may discover it. You may never be caught. You may never have to pay for it here, as far as you can tell. But your sin will someday be found out. No one ever commits one sin that isn't found out. Everything that you did in the darkness, every evil thought that you ever had is going to be found out. Because it'll all be recorded. It's being recorded, awaiting the judgment day. It's only a question of time. The word will is definite. Will find you out. Find, perhaps you've deceived everyone else, your wife, your family, your church, your friends, but the Bible says your sin will definitely find you out. And then thirdly, there's the slandering fool, the slandering fool. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Passing along an evil story about others, maligning other people's character, wrecking their reputations by evil gossip. Gossiping is listed in the Bible as one of the worst of all sins. And yet how frequent that's done even in circles that call themselves Christians. It's a terrible sin in the sight of God, and God says that person is a fool. You wouldn't think of killing a person with a gun or a knife. But then many times we assassinate a character or try to pull someone down or to get even or because of jealousy by whispering innuendos. Someone told me, or he did thus and so. We commit murder by character assassination. He that uttereth a slander, the scripture says, is a fool. And then fourthly, there's the Christian fool. The Christian fool. Remember the road to Emmaus after Jesus Christ had died on the cross for our sins and he'd been raised again? And remember he was appearing to disciples. In fact, 11 different appearances after his resurrection. And this is one of them. And these two disciples were on the way to Emmaus outside of Jerusalem. They were sad. They were disappointed. They were disillusioned. And they were mumbling and groaning among themselves. And another man joined them. And they didn't recognize who he was. And he talked to them, said, why are you so downcast? They said, oh, we thought he was to be the Messiah. Haven't you heard all the happenings in Jerusalem during the past week about this Jesus who did wonderful things? We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he'd come to save the world, but he didn't. He disappointed us. They killed him on a cross, and now the third day has passed, and we heard rumors that he might be raised from the dead, but we don't accept that. And then Jesus said, oh, fools, you're fools. Then he started expounding to them the scriptures from Moses through the prophets as to who he really was. And then he went to spend the evening with them, and he was sitting at the meal in their home in Emmaus. And all of a sudden their eyes were open and they saw it was Jesus. In other words, the Christian fool who has the Word of God in his hand, who reads his testimony and yet doubts the promises of God. Concerning suffering even. My grace is sufficient unto you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus said, oh, you fools, for not believing the scriptures, that he was going to rise from the dead, and someday he's coming back.
So what about you? Are you ready to believe what the scriptures say about Jesus, that he's the only way to true peace in this life and to heaven when you die? We can tell you more at peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can call us at 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You'll hear the rest of Billy Graham's message, Whose Fool Are You, in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Pray. Pray for people you know who don't know Jesus. And get ready. Get ready for My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham, singer, songwriter, Matthew West.
Say, God, would you show me that one person or that one family? Show me who it is that you've put across my path and I've neglected to notice.
This November, My Hope will release Billy Graham's never-before-seen message, Heaven.
His message is timeless. God's going to move in a powerful way. I believe it.
My Hope partners with you and your church to help you share the message of Christ with your community. Learn more about it and pre-order your copy of Heaven today. Go to myhopewithbillygraham.org.
I can think of no better message or no better minister to introduce my unsaved friends to than the message of Billy Graham.
Ask God how he wants to use you, your church, and Billy Graham's message, Heaven. Pre-order your copy of it today. Go to myhopewithbillygraham.org. myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Thanks for joining us today for Peace with God. The outreach My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham is designed to help you tell friends and family about the hope that's found only in Jesus Christ. Curry Bennett used My Hope to reach out to his good friend and coworker, Josh Taylor.
The moment I realized that we were going to do this, he was one of the first people to come to my mind that I wanted to invite.
Josh remembers Curry's invitation.
He called me and said, hey, Josh, I got something to ask you. Why don't you come to my house maybe Thursday night? We're going to be showing a video. He said, it's going to be a little awkward. It's going to be a little churchy, but I want you to be there. You know, come there with an open mind. And I said, Curry, all right, I'll be there, man, I promise.
My Hope 2014 features a never-before-seen message from Billy Graham and the powerful stories of two other people. It was a similar program that Curry showed to Josh and some other friends in his home last November. When it was over, Curry asked if anyone wanted to surrender their lives to Christ, and Josh didn't waste any time.
Right then, I said, hey, I'm ready. Raised my hand. He said, all right, I want you to ask the Lord to come to your heart in your own words, and that's what I've done. I submitted my life that night to Jesus Christ, November the 7th.
And November 7th of this year is the release date for the My Hope 2014 DVD. You can pre-order your free copy of the program right now. Just go to myhopewithbillygraham.org. That's myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Billy Graham's asking you this question in his message today. Whose fool are you, God's or the devil's? He's explaining what that means by looking at different types of fools that are listed in the Bible.
There's the covetous fool. And the story is told in Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus told the story about a rich man in his barns. You remember he built his barns and he said he was going to retire because he'd made enough money now, probably going to go to Southern California, Florida, come here to Idaho, to this beautiful place and retire. He'd made enough money. And he said, soul, take thine ease, drink and be merry. And that night he had a heart attack. And when he was dying, there was a voice heard from heaven that said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And the scripture says, Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, he tried to find happiness in the wrong place, money. He ignored the power of influence in that no man liveth unto himself. He must have had a family. I remember a story I heard years ago about a little boy that was stepping through some snow like this. And his father said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm stepping in daddy's tracks. All of our children are stepping in our tracks. What kind of tracks do you leave behind for the children? In your home, in your life. You want your children many times to live far better than you live, but you set them no example. He disregarded death. He had made no provision for eternity. He had provision for his retirement. How many men and women I know who have planned for retirement, planned everything, but they haven't prepared to die, and they die shortly after they retire. You better be sure that you have prepared to meet God. Every person who is more concerned about getting some of this world's goods and leaving out the preparation for eternity is a fool. Or the person who spends their time in social climbing or having pleasure more than eternal things is a fool in the sight of God. If you're not concerned about your home in heaven, you're not concerned about the riches that will never fail, not concerned about laying up treasure where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, then you're a fool. And then seventhly, there's another kind of a fool, or sixthly, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. 1 Corinthians 1:18, but unto us which were saved, it is the power of God. What the world counts foolish, we have rested our eternal salvation on. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, turn your back on the pleasures and the sensual lust and things of this world, people think you're a fool. But those of us that know Christ have the best of both worlds. We have Christ in our hearts. The Holy Spirit produces love and joy and peace continually, like a mighty river flowing down through our hearts, no matter what the troubles and the circumstances may be. Oh yes, we go through a lot of suffering and we may go through death, but it's not the same as with a non-believer. The sting of death has been removed. There's a joy and a peace in the midst of it. His rod and his staff is with us. Christ is with us in every circumstance, in the hospital. Whatever happens, he's there. And then we have all glory ahead, eternity forever with him. But the Bible says that the world calls that foolishness, and we find it out in our own lives, don't we? Those of us that know Christ, people that work with us every day, think we're foolish for talking about Christ and the Bible all the time. I remember years ago, before I came to Christ, there was a man that lived near us, and he was always, when he would come over, he had a little farm near my father's farm, and he would come over sometimes to help my father. My father and he were friends. His name was Mr. Temple. And he came over, and he was a little man, but he always, whatever he was doing, he'd make a little illustration out of it to tell us about Jesus Christ and about the Bible and how we ought to believe. I used to think that that man was the biggest fool I'd ever met. The proclamation of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now I know that they were right and I was wrong, because one day I received Christ into my heart. He changed my life. And now, the world that does not know Christ looks foolish to me. Why can't they see? Why can't they understand? I want to grab everybody I see on the street and everybody we pass, everybody in the hotel, I want to grab them and say, look here, Christ could change your life. I see their empty faces and I hear the hollow laughter. And I see them drinking, trying to drink themselves into some happiness, or taking the drugs and that hollow stare that they have. And I say, oh, if I could only just shake them loose. But you see, only the Holy Spirit can do that. I cannot do the work of the Holy Spirit for him. The Holy Spirit must convict them of sin. He must also lift this veil that's over their minds. And so salvation is of the Lord, the Bible says. If anyone desires wisdom, let him take his place in identification with Jesus Christ. What the world calls foolish, I'm resting my salvation on the cross of Christ, no matter what the world may think of him or of me. We're fools for Christ's sake, willing for the world to look at us as out of our minds, willing to be accounted as the very offscouring of the earth because we've turned to Christ. Are you one of the devil's fools? Or are you willing to be a fool for Christ's sake? The Bible says in Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eye. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Which road are you on? The narrow road that leads to eternal life, or the broad road that leads to destruction? You have to make a choice. The scripture says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to continue to be a fool in the sight of God? Or are you going to become another kind of fool, the Christ fool, that the world will call a fool and call foolishness? Because you see, when Christ died on the cross, it says that the crowd down below, the mob below, ridiculed and laughed. You saved others, but you cannot save yourself. And Jesus was hanging there. And when he died on the cross, he took your sins. Every sin that you've ever committed, he took on that cross. He took your death penalty for you. And because he was the Son of God, and because he was sinless, he could bear your sins. And God has accepted his death as a sin offering for our sins. So that when God looks at me now, he doesn't see Billy Graham the sinner. I am a sinner. I have sinned, but I've placed my sins under the blood of Christ. And the blood that was shed on the cross washes my sins away in the sight of God, so that when God looks at me, he cannot see my sins. In other words, the tapes are erased from the time you were born till the time you die. Because if one sin ever remained on those tapes, you'd never make it to heaven. God is righteous and holy. And before you can get into heaven, you must be righteous too. And the only way you can get any righteousness is to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he offers you that righteous clothing tonight free. You don't have to pay for it. But you have to do three things. You must repent of your sins. That means you're willing to change your way of life. You're willing to change completely and put Christ first in your life from this moment on. First, repent. Second, receive him by faith into your heart. Faith means trust, total commitment. It means that he becomes the pilot of your plane, or he becomes the driver of your car, of your life. You turn all the decision making over to him. And that's a wonderful thing. You trust him for your salvation. And then the third thing, you're willing to obey him. Study the scriptures and pray and obey him and do what he says and be his follower, no matter what the cost. I'm going to ask you to make that commitment tonight.
You can learn more about making that commitment to Jesus Christ and the joy that goes with it by going to peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. You can also call us. Our phone number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787.
Peace.
With
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
Just a moment ago, you heard Billy Graham say that followers of Jesus Christ are not immune to heartaches and problems. In fact, as his daughter Ann Graham Lotz explains now, God is very present in those difficult situations.
Is God wanting to reveal his glory to you, but you're not seeing? Are you so focused on problems and pressures, on the wrappings, and missing the gift inside? Sometimes God wraps his glory in hard circumstances or painful difficulties, but within those life-shaking events is a treasure. Exodus 26 says the tabernacle was wrapped in badger skins. Who would have believed inside was the glory of God? 2 Corinthians 4:7 says God puts his glory in clay pots to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Think about it. Is God trying to pry open the eyes of your heart so he can show you his glory? Are you so focused on the what-ifs and the if-onlys and the why-me, the wrappings, that you're missing the fresh, personal revelation of himself that he wants to give you? Isn't it time you got past the wrappings and discovered the treasure inside? This is Ann Graham Lotz.
You can listen back to Ann's teaching, as well as her dad's message, anytime you like by getting a free CD of today's program. Just give us a call and let us know you'd like the free CD of this edition of Peace with God. The phone number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Next week, Franklin Graham teaches on starting over.
Tonight, you can roll that clock back. Tonight, you can come to Christ. Tonight, you can be forgiven. Tonight, you can be cleansed. Tonight, you can be made whole.
That's also the theme of Billy Graham's latest book, The Reason for My Hope, Salvation. We're offering that book as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. You can give online or over the phone. Our web address is peacewithgodradio.org, and our phone number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Thanks so much for being with us today, and please make plans to join us again next week at this same time. I'm Bill Meyer.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.